They've got a population that is more people in retirement than working. They're not importing any. They're not bringing. They're xenophobic. Nobody coming else coming in. They've got real problems. I'm not looking for a fight with China. I'm looking for competition, but fair competition.
There are no two countries who are more economically intertwined than the United States and the People's Republic of China. But in this relationship, the more money involved does not make for closer allies. I'm Sky Nell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, we are going to ask, is China friend or foe to the West? Let's get started. From technology to spying to involvement in world wars, relations between the United States and China are tense at best. Now, this all started when the Chinese spy balloon floated over the entirety of the U.S., delaying an important bilateral meeting between China and U.S. back in February of 2023. Now, China claimed it was a weather balloon and called the decision to shoot down the balloon unacceptable and irresponsible, while U.S. intelligence says the unmanned vessel was designed to collect military data, not weather reports. Now, this prompted Secretary of State Antony Blinken to postpone a diplomatic visit to Beijing from February to June to try and cool the tensions. And President Joe Biden has also signed a bill forcing the sale of Chinese social media company TikTok in April. Now, all of this comes as Biden is implementing tariffs and sanctions against China to slow their access to technology, such as semiconductors. And during Blinken's last meeting on Beijing, Chinese President Xi Jinping said Washington needs to look at China's development in a positive light, all in order for bilateral relations to improve.
China is willing to see a confident and open U.S. with prosperity and development. It is hoped that the U.S. can also look at China's development positively. Only when this fundamental issue is resolved will the China-U.S. relations be truly stabilized.
But is this just more theater, or are tensions between the two world powers at a breaking point, which will have devastating effects on the rest of the world? Well, let us discuss with our panel. KJ Ngo, author and East Asia expert, Lionel of Lionel Media, and Kim Iverson, host of The Iverson Show. Thank you so much for joining me, all three of you.
Thank you.
So, Kim, I'm actually going to start with you, because it is no secret that Republicans and Democrats in office often speak of China as the number one threat globally. Yet only a few pieces of legislation have actually been passed, which draws hard lines between the two countries. So what is the truth regarding the current relationship between Washington, D.C. and Beijing?
Well, the truth is that the business class will not really truly allow the political class to do the things that the political class says that they want to do. The political class does a lot of posturing against China. They want to act like China is the big bad bully that they have to go after. They continue to they're just posturing a lot. But the bottom line is, we do too much trade with China. We have too much riding on China's economy. We have too much business in China. The business class won't actually allow anything to happen, which is fundamentally a good thing. We should not be creating another Cold War or creating another adversary. If we want to compete, we've got to learn to compete by actually producing better goods, by actually making ourselves more self-sufficient rather than relying on China and their imports. That is what we need to be doing rather than constantly demonizing and trying to create a Cold War. It's just not going to work.
Well, KJ, is that how you see it? And then I have to ask, what is the United States' biggest fear in regards to China?
The U.S. is afraid that China is a rising competitor. They refer to it as a revisionist power, which is another way of saying that it is an official enemy. But the U.S., at least since 1992, has been considering itself the global hegemon. And because of that, it does not brook any challenges. China, originally, when the U.S. did have relations with China, China was supposed to become another person,
Right. So that's my thing, Lionel.
Yes.
On that side, because that's the thing, because it looks like, you know, even Lionel, the U.S. Secretary of State, he said this regarding China and its relationship with Russia.
It's also enabling Russia to rebuild a defense industrial base that countries throughout Europe are deeply concerned will be turned against them after Ukraine is done.
Okay, Lionel, so is the Secretary of State accurate, or is he more likely gaslighting the EU citizens into villainizing China, kind of along with Russia?
They villainize everybody except Israel, which is what we're doing right now. This is incoherent. We have to start from the beginning. Listen, you used a word one time, a particular word. Somebody said, is China an enemy of ours? It's not an enemy. We're not enemies. This good versus evil and Manichaean, this who's the good guy and the bad guy. This is ridiculous. This is a superpower. Now, in 1972, remember what we did when we were smart and we were adults. We actually, we had Russia and China. And actually, we embraced China and basically pulled them away from Russia in those days of the Soviet Union and everything. Today, we're in this weird kind of, not a hegemonic world, but we're schizophrenic. And our view, our vision, just look at what's happening right now with Israel. Look at how the way we handle Russia, the sanctions. Look at how NATO has absolutely destroyed us. Look, we are schizophrenic. I'm sorry to say this. We need a new administration and start over from scratch.
Kim, I got to ask you, the U.S. is taking, do you think that this administration will take any responsibility for China's growing power in the world, both financially and diplomatically, because the other countries are rebelling from the West actions?
Well, I don't think that the administration is going to take responsibility, and I also don't think they should. I don't think anybody should have to take responsibility for China's rising power except for China. I mean, China has been doing what China needs to do in order to make China strong, in order to make China thrive. And I don't think there's any stopping it. I think with 1.4 billion people, you're not going to stop the rise of China, especially at the economic rate that they're growing. So I think the only thing, you know, rather than blaming administrations for allowing China to rise, I mean, China's going to rise. What we can do is blame the administrations for not properly competing. And rather than actually focus on competition, they're focusing on trying to hinder China, stop China, creating an enemy out of China, causing the rest of the world to kind of look at us with shock of, you know, what are we trying to accomplish here when the rest of the world wants to turn towards China and do business with their 1.4 billion people. So I don't think any administration should take blame for a rising China, but they should be taking blame for not competing properly.
Lionel, what's your thoughts?
Okay, very simply, you asked the question, what's the Biden administration? First of all, China is not a cancer. China is a burgeoning, brilliantly of an exciting country that wants the same thing for it that we want. China is not from another planet. And you asked the question, remember when we send Nancy Pelosi to Taiwan? We're going like this to China. And then we sit back and we wonder, gee, I wonder what's going on. And by the way, much too much is being played about this balloon that flew over. This has been going on forever. We need adults to sit down and understand that China wants what we want, who we want to run the world. We're blaming China for doing exactly what we want. And we act like they're from another planet. And let me explain something. Please do not confuse Russia with China. This is ideology versus pragmatism versus economic realism. We need somebody smart enough, maybe dare I say, like a Mearsheimer or somebody to actually understand the way human beings work, realpolitik, and not this nonsense Fox News versus CNN, left and right Manichaean drivel.
It's called survival, too, I like to think. You know, maybe we got everything fixed down. I hope we do. Because, KJ, in early May, President Joe Biden lumped longtime ally Japan with Russia and China. Take a listen.
Well, I spent a lot of time with President Abe as vice president. And guess what? This is called Abe economics they're talking about, we're calling it. And that is, there's an entire move, because they are xenophobic, because they know I want to invite other people from outside their country to come in and make up the workforce. They have fewer workers than they have a need for workers.
Okay, so describing the nation as xenophobic, Well, that drew widespread outrage, especially since he was speaking at a campaign fundraiser, which was marking Asian American Heritage Month. Now, Biden did make similar remarks when Chinese President Xi Jinping came to visit San Francisco in November. Watch this.
The dictator, in a sense, that he is the guy who runs a country that is a communist country that based on a form of government totally different than ours.
Okay, watch that again. As Secretary of State Antony Blinken appears to shake his head and wince when President Joe Biden said he still believes Chinese President Xi Jinping is a dictator. That's incredible. Now, the Chinese Foreign Ministry spokeswoman, Mai Ning, said, quote, the statement is extremely wrong and irresponsible political manipulation. So I've got to ask you, KJ, is Biden largely responsible for these deteriorating relations?
No, not at all. You know, it's been a long time coming. You can track it back to the Obama administration, which in 2011 declared the pivot to Asia, which was essentially the beginning of the plan to encircle and contain China. Even that plan was hatched probably around 2008, 2009. We know this because the U.S. started building out a doctrine of war called a sea battle in 2009. It was revealed a few years later. So these plans have been building for a very, very long time. I think you place it squarely on the shoulders of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. And even before that, I think you really have to point at the neocons that essentially put forth a doctrine that said they would not tolerate any challengers to the U.S. global hegemony, that no country was allowed to challenge U.S. hegemony, and that they would use any method, any tactic, any strategy to prevent that from happening.
Well, I want to thank you to our panel. Great discussion. Please stick around, because prior to the global pandemic, President Trump had been working with China on a trade deal, which was supposed to level the playing field for goods in both countries. Now, after the break, we're going to look at the economic relationship between the Biden administration and China, and which administration did China work better with?
The Revolution of 1789 in France gave hope for the liberation of the oppressed peoples in the French overseas territories. But Paris did not want to part with its sources of profit. The first sign of decolonization was the uprising of black slaves in Haiti. That remote island produced almost half of all the sugar on the planet. Sugar was made by disenfranchised slaves brought from Africa. In 1791, they started an uprising against their oppressors. The blacks swept away the colonial administration and formed their own army. It was led by the charismatic leader, François-Dominique Toussaint Louverture. French attempts to regain control of the colony were unsuccessful. Having come to power, Napoleon dispatched a large expeditionary force to Haiti. The French managed to capture Toussaint Louverture by deceit, but they could not suppress the rebels and suffered a devastating defeat. On January 1, 1804, Haiti declared independence, the first one in the whole Latin America. However, freedom was paid for with the blood of 200,000 courageous Haitians who had sacrificed their lives for the abolition of slavery on our planet. The events in Haiti were the only successful uprising of slaves in history, when they not only threw off slavery, but also began to rule their state.
There's no end in sight over how you're going to continue to destroy the earth.
It's the case of the madness of the people.
I tried to go to the gym, but I'm certainly not ready to fight Russia.
This is all so absurd.
This is third world lunacy. Brainwashing.
As Ursula von der Leyen likes to say, we have the tools.
Why don't we just start with stability and business deals?
And what planet are you living on now?
We have very good propaganda in our press here in Europe.
I think we don't know the aftermath.
Anytime that you're not allowed to ask questions, you should ask all of the questions.
The more questions asked, the better the answers will be.
Padre.
для мирного населения никто им пока еще не делал. Но используют ее украинские войска против мирного населения в основном.
А как это назвать, если не терроризм? Садик рядом, школа рядом.
Этот предмет разработал инженерами для того, чтобы делать человека калекой.
Я хочу досмотреть все до конца и увидеть отцу.
Большинство снарядов рядом с домами, в домах. Рискуем очень сильно, достаем.
Все будет хорошо. Победа будет за нами.
Goods and services trade with China totaled an estimated $758.4 billion in 2022. And with the U.S. goods and services trade deficit with China being $367 billion in that same year. Now, while President Joe Biden spent most of his time on the 2020 campaign trail criticizing former President Donald Trump's tariffs on China, Biden has not only matched them, but is now exceeding Trump-era tariffs. Now, the Biden administration has announced it will raise tariffs on certain Chinese steel and aluminum products from 7.25% to 25% this year, on semiconductors from 25% to 50%, and on electric vehicles four times from 25% to 100%, all happening next year. Now, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre responded to reporters questioning why the president has changed his tune.
He changed his mind and now believes tariffs work.
We have always had concerns on China's unfair trade policies. We've been very clear about that. And the last administration, when they did a trade deal with China, what it did is it failed to increase American exports or boost manufacturing. That is not something the president wants to see.
Well, former President Trump responded to the new tariffs given by the Biden administration on his way into a New York courtroom for his hush money trial.
He wants to put big tariffs on China, which is a suggestion that I said, where have you been for 3.5 years? They should have done that a long time ago, because China is eating our lunch right now. And they went away from what I was doing.
Okay, so we've got to continue this conversation regarding the U.S.'s relationship with China from an economic perspective with our guest, KJ Ngo, author and East Asia expert, Ed Lionel from Lionel Media, and Kim Iverson, host of The Kim Iverson Show. Thank you so much for joining me again. Lionel, I'm going to start with you on this one. What do you think has caused this shift for President Joe Biden to go after China in the form of tariffs? And whose economy is under more pressure, China's or the United States?
Well, a couple of things. Well, first of all, the question is not what is Joe Biden, what has caused the person who tells Joe Biden what to do to change their mind? And by the way, if you ever needed any example, the absolute incoherence of this administration, look at Karine Jean-Pierre, who basically responds to every question like she's answering, you know, particle physics supersymmetry question. It's this kind of a, well, I feel like as long as the note's there, look. Very, very simply this, what China, and it's so easy for us to use this kind of a pedestrian terms, but what China will respect is strength and consistency and somebody who knows what the hell they're talking about. That can be adjusted later. If you didn't even speak English and you looked at President Trump's answer versus Karine Jean-Pierre, who knows what they're talking about? They may not be correct, but this is I think coming to an end right now. And by the way, remember one thing: if China ever decides to have to really play hardball when it comes to Taiwan and chips and computer components, KD Bardor, good night, Gracie. It's over.
It's over. Well, what's not over, KJ, is the U.S. media reporting on this, because they're saying that China's economy is failing. Is that accurate?
No, I don't think so. China's economy grew 5.1% this most recent quarter. That's about three times as fast as the United States and faster than almost any other country in the EU. And so China is not failing. China is doing very well. It's going from strength to strength. Now, 5% is less than the 7, 8, 9% that it was growing previously, but still it will grow by nearly $1 trillion this year. That is to say, it grows about the size of one third of India. Every 3 years, it grows the size, it expands its economy, the size of India every 3 years. So China is no slouch. They're building out their technological, their industrial, their scientific capacities. They're going from strength to strength. And anybody who thinks that China is going to fail, in fact, this is a kind of collapsist doctrine that Hillary Clinton and the neocons had, I think they're completely mistaken.
Well, Kim, why is that? Why would they go with that narrative and continue to push that China's economy is failing? What good is that supposed to accomplish?
Well, they could, you know, they're just playing the blame game and trying to blame anybody but their own U.S. policies as to why the U.S. economy is not doing as well as it could. They're focused on our foreign policy, endless wars. They focus on everything but making America strong and building America up. So all they have is to point and blame, even though it is a ridiculous claim. 5% GDP growth for China is enormous. That's more than double what the U.S.'s GDP growth rate is. Going down, oh, they say, oh, but it's shrinking. It's going down to what, 4.6% is the estimate, and the U.S. is still at 1.9%. So even with China having a declining GDP, it is still more than double than the United States. It's still an incredible, enormous GDP growth that China's experiencing. And so they're just trying to say, well, China's scrambling. China's subsidizing a bunch of their industries so that those industries don't have to make a profit. So we have to sanction, we have to add all these extra tariffs onto these. For example, on the EVs, you know, they're putting a 100% tariff from the Biden administration. Meanwhile, you know, Biden has snubbed Tesla at every single turn. You've got one of the biggest EV manufacturers in the world here in the United States. And what has Biden done to support Tesla? Sits there and invites GM that made, what, 26 EVs when Tesla was pumping out 300,000 EVs? I mean, it's the failing of the political class that uses everything for politics and then realizes later, oh crap, we made a mistake, so now we're just gonna have to turn around and blame China.
And that's an easy thing to do, because Lionel, we do know that we are in election year, so I've gotta ask, what effect is all of this, the November elections, actually going to have on the U.S. relationship with China, depending on who wins?
Well, if we continue, and I don't think we are going to continue, I believe there's gonna be a change in administration in 170 plus days. But one of the things I hope that we stop doing, and we saw it with Russia, we went from Russophobic to Sinophobic. I don't want to use words like racism. I don't like that. I think that those terms are overused. What happens is we start beating the drum here in this country. And all of a sudden, when you start hearing the Fox News sock puppets and the CNNs, and they start talking about this demonization of China, and that they want something more, they want domination, and they're evil, and they're communist. We're actually repeating Cold War rhetoric. We didn't learn from Russia, from what happened with Ukraine. We're doing the same thing. Somebody's got to sit down with Xi Jinping and say, look, I'm an adult. What do you want? This is what I want. I don't want war. You don't want war. Do us a favor. Stop stealing our stuff. Don't make me look bad and have a balloon. By the way, that balloon is the biggest nothing story. We've got satellites. Do you think that we don't steal other people's stuff? Do you think that we, with our technology, we don't do the very thing that we say other people? Do you think, I mean, give us some credit when it comes to stealing stuff. We can compete with anybody. So the first thing I hope that we do is to become adults and apply this realpolitik. Use some realism here and stop this name calling and let some real adults make some real progress regarding real issues.
Well, and that's the thing, KJ, because we've learned with Russia. Russia really is used to becoming the villain made by Western media. Doesn't really affect their policies. How is China going to react, or are they reacting to being villainized by the Western media?
They don't like it one bit. They think it's absurd. I mean, just give you one example. You know, we've talked about the spy balloon. You know, the Chinese have 4 satellites in geosynchronous orbit, another 140 in low Earth orbit, and 300 in lower orbits. They're a major space power. They can scan and surveil anything they want to, as can the United States. So we are supposed to believe that they sent enormous, slow-moving, 2-story white billboard that screams, "See me and target me," to spy on the United States? That's absurd. That's like me saying that the NSA, which can spy on you 50 ways to Tuesday, drilled a hole in your wall and stuck a tin can with a string and was listening in on you. It's absurd.
Well, that's a very interesting way. And on that, I've got to end it, because I want to say thank you to our esteemed panel. Kim, KJ, Lionel, thank you so much for being very frank and honest about this conversation, because you don't hear that on many media outlets right now. Maybe they're afraid. That might be the truth. You know, there are so many stories talking about being afraid where the boogeyman or the villain turns out to be in cohorts with the hero the entire time. Now, pardon me if I find the pontificating so often done by U.S. politicians to be merely theatrics, as their fiercest actions are against a social media app made famous by viral dances, but now one of the main sources for unregulated live videos. Or they banned the phone manufacturer, which is the number one competitor to Apple in every other country. Meanwhile, more than 5,000 Chinese companies actually operate in the United States with little to no attention. Companies like Smithfield Foods, Alibaba, and even General Electric, to name a few, are majority owned by the Chinese, and yet there's silence from U.S. politicians regarding restrictions against these or other Chinese-owned companies actually doing business in the U.S. Not to mention China owns around 384,000 acres of American agricultural land, with only a few U.S. governors, like Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, enacting legislation to sever ties with the Chinese country, even if it's to Florida's economic detriment. You know, this lack of consistency makes one believe the relationship between the two countries, while volatile, is not the breaking point some would like us to believe. This has been your 360 View. Thanks for watching.